It is now my pleasure to introduce somebody who absolutely everybody here knows personally and enjoys tremendously, my friend John Nichols, the pioneering political correspondent. He writes for the Progressive Magazine. He writes for The Nation. He's on all kinds of television shows. He's the associate editor of the Capital Times. And he's just a fun guy. He's always up for having fun, including once sneaking onto a yacht to see Tommy Thompson with me during his ill-fated campaign against Tammy Baldwin. Nichols is an unapologetic Wisconsin nationalist. He's the author of too many books for me to cite here, including Uprising, The S Word, and People Get Ready, The Fight Against a Jobless Economy and a Citizenless Democracy. Please give a warm Wisconsin welcome to John Nichols.
All right. Oh, my goodness me. You know, I was raised in the most rural parts of Wisconsin. And for me, the best part of the summer was the county fair. And I want to tell you something today on this beautiful day. With all of you as I've walked around here, I have felt like I was at the county fair of progressivism in America. I feel like I've come home to some place where I belong, because brothers and sisters, when the progressives of the state of Wisconsin gather together, we are a stronger and better force than any force in this nation. But I would be remiss if we begin this session any differently than I have ever begun an event at Bobfest. Back about 18 years ago, the Democratic Party in Wisconsin was falling apart. It did not know what it was going to do to challenge Tommy Thompson for governor. He was very popular at the time, and everybody was like, well, I actually heard people saying, well, we don't have a candidate. Maybe we just should leave that part of the ballot open. They were literally giving up. And in that moment, a labor lawyer, a true believer in the Wisconsin progressive tradition, stepped up and he said, I know it's near on impossible. I know that nobody else wants to do this, but I got a little bit of name recognition. I got a little bit of energy and I'm ready to run for governor. And I want to tell you, that man, when he ran for governor of Wisconsin, he renewed his party. He brought people to the polls that helped to elect Tammy Baldwin to Congress. He brought people to the polls that helped to elect Russ Feingold to another term in the U.S. Senate. And I will tell you this, as long as I live, Ed Garvey will be my governor of Wisconsin. It will never be any different, brothers and sisters. And you know what? Sometimes along the way, when I would say that, it would be a little bit shaky. We'd have a governor that some people liked. But I want to tell you now, when I say Ed Garvey is my governor of Wisconsin, people across this state say, can I come live in your Wisconsin? Because I don't want to live in Scott Walker's Wisconsin. Oh, you know, I'm so honored to be here because my mom is with us today. And if you want to know where my progressivism comes from, it comes out of Blue River, Wisconsin, where my great-grandfather was the village president for 37 years. And the greatest honor of his tenure as village president of Blue River was when they renamed the main street in that town from the gloriously named Main Street to La Follette. I learned my progressivism from my mother, and I want to tell you something. If you think I'm a radical, you ought to go meet her because she's out there down in southwestern Wisconsin. I'm making no endorsements today, but I will tell you, she and her colleagues and comrades are trying to get us a new speaker of the state assembly because they're campaigning against Robin Boss out in southeastern Wisconsin. And I'm so honored to be up here today, too, because I get to share the stage with somebody who I think is a true Wisconsin populist in the greatest tradition of this state. And that is my friend Sarah Lloyd, who's running for Congress out in northeast Wisconsin. I don't know if Sarah is. I know there she is over there. I'll tell you something. You can make your choices if you live up in northeast Wisconsin. You want to vote for Glenn Grothman, that's fine. But if by chance you're looking to put a farmer in the state legislature, or in the Congress of the United States, you're going to put somebody who's been an organizer and a worker who would actually bring together that urban-rural tradition that is at the heart of Wisconsin progressivism, well, I kind of feel like Sarah Lloyd might be somebody folks would consider. And when I look over there, when I look over that direction, I see standing next to her Peter Rickman. And you, not everybody here knows who Peter Rickman from the Working Families Party is. Peter Rickman's an interesting guy. He was a student at the grad student at the University of Wisconsin. The day after Scott Walker brought in all of his anti-labor changes, the day after he brought in all of his anti-public education and public school changes, anti-public service changes back in February of 2011, everybody I knew, all the legislators were like, oh, what will we do? All the labor leaders are like, oh, what will we do? Peter Rickman organized a bunch of students from the University of Wisconsin to march on the Capitol because they knew what to do. And they marched to that Capitol, and they had their rally. And then Peter Rickman said, you know what? The doors to the Capitol aren't locked. Why don't we go in and occupy that building on behalf of the people of Wisconsin? You want to see where the Wisconsin uprising came from? It's all of you, and it's Peter Rickman. So I'm not going to talk for a long time today because you've heard everybody. Everything has been said, but not everyone has said it yet. But I do want to say something that I think maybe matters a little bit. And that is that I am a Wisconsin nationalist. I believe the state of Wisconsin is different and better than every other state in the United States. I was born and raised in the view that this state led the rest of the United States, that this state was America's North Star, that this state was America's laboratory of democracy. I was raised to believe that we have a Wisconsin idea that is better than the idea of any other state in this country. And I am ashamed of Scott Walker for dimming that North Star, for breaking up that laboratory of democracy. And I am ashamed of Scott Walker for attacking the Wisconsin idea. Brothers and sisters, when a governor of Wisconsin is flying around the United States with a schedule of billionaires and corporate CEOs to gather his money from, that governor is not simply at odds with us politically. He is sinning against the basic premises of the Wisconsin idea, the laboratory of democracy, the North Star. Brothers and sisters, Scott Walker is fighting against the state of Wisconsin, and we have to fight back. The revelations of the last week or so, have shown us just how far this governor will go to raise that money. Just how far this governor will go to serve those CEOs. And the revelations have shown us that our state legislators, not the ones who might appear on this stage, but that our state legislators govern with an eye towards serving the same billionaires and the same CEOs. And brothers and sisters, the worst of those revelations tell us that the great state Supreme Court of Wisconsin has come at bended knee to the billionaires and the corporate CEOs and served their interests over the interests of the people of Wisconsin and the rule of law. Brothers and sisters, our state has been taken from us by people who do not respect what we have been, what we are, and what we must be. Yeah. 150 years ago, Edward Ryan, the great Chief Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, said there is rising up a new and dark power in America. Corporations are moving, not merely for economic power, but for political power itself. Corporations are seeking to dominate our politics to create a governance that is a reflection of their needs, not of our needs. And Edward Ryan closed by saying, "The question shall arise in your day, if not mine. Which shall rule, wealth or man? Who shall fill the positions of public power? Patriotic and free citizens, or the feudal serfs of corporate capital?" Brothers and sisters, the feudal serfs of corporate capital are ruling Wisconsin today, and it is not merely a political duty, it is a moral duty to change the leadership of this state so that once more we are the progressive North Star of this country. This is not a debatable point. It is a necessary point. Oh, and I know how easy it is to be discouraged. But you know what? If you're a Wisconsin progressive, you just heard a speech by a United States senator from the state of Wisconsin, sitting in a seat held by a La Follette, and representing the interests of this state, not merely as a senator, but as a member of the House, by voting against the war in Iraq, by voting against the Patriot Act, by voting against the trade deals that have done so much to destroy our economy. We haven't lost everything. We still have our leaders and our representatives, but we have to have so much more. And I know for the future, this little kid right here, I know what you're going to say. I know some of you are going to say, "Oh, I don't know where Wisconsin is at. I really don't know if we've lost our state." Well, a little over a year ago down at what I call the Coliseum still, I introduced to you a senator from the state of Vermont. Yeah. Bernie Sanders ran for president on the platform of Robert M. La Follette and the Wisconsin Progressive Movement. He was anti-war. He was opposed to economic injustice. He was opposed to racism. He defended immigrants. He stood up for the rights of the working class against the plutocrats and the oligopoly. And you know what? He maybe didn't win every place in America, but in the state of Wisconsin, he won 71 of 72 counties. So don't you tell me that there isn't a progressive fire in this state still waiting to be lit, still ready to happen. And let me close off by telling you, you know, as I think about those who have done so much to damage our state and those who have done so much to defend it, I look out at you and I see the defenders. And I think back long, long ago, we're in this terrible era now where we have candidates for president saying horrible things about immigrants, saying horrible things about Muslims, trying to divide us along lines of race and class and gender. Well, you know, more than 150 years ago, in the city of Milwaukee, they organized the 24th Volunteer Regiment to go fight in the Civil War. And it was a haphazard regiment. They didn't even have a flag. Flag was sewn by some women here in Madison. It was taken over by kids from Dane County, Dodge County, and Jefferson County, Iowa County, Rock County, Walworth, Racine, Kenosha. They gathered in Milwaukee, and they shipped out. And they fought in the worst battles of the Civil War, the ugliest, bloodiest battles of the Civil War. They lost 8 of their commanders in that war. They lost hundreds of those young recruits, those young men from all these counties of southern Wisconsin. And at the critical point in the war, when the battle was taken to Lookout Mountain, the elite units of the U.S. military, the Union Army, were at the bottom of Lookout Mountain. They needed to get over that mountain in order to break the line and go into the Deep South to finally take Wisconsin's promise, an end to slavery, an end to the injustice, and take that deep into the south of this country. And you know, the elite units, they backed off. They could not get up to the top of Lookout Mountain. The Confederates were there shooting down. Over to the side, there was a little woods. They had dispatched the 24th volunteer from Wisconsin over to that little woods. And they were down there amidst the rocks. And when they saw the elite units backing off on Lookout Mountain, they looked up at Missionary Ridge. And they said, this is a harder climb. Nobody wanted to try this. But if nobody's going to take Lookout Mountain, we're going to take Missionary Ridge, and we're going to break the Confederate line and go into the South to fight the battle to free slaves and to end the injustice, the sin of our founding that allowed anyone to be treated differently than another. And they looked up that mountain, and the commander, an 18-year-old kid, one of the commanders, an 18-year-old kid from Milwaukee, gave the order to go. A kid with a flag started running up that hill, and he was gunned down immediately. Another kid grabbed that flag and started running up the hill. He, too, was killed by a Confederate cannonball that decapitated him. They kept coming forward, and finally, young guy from Milwaukee, 18 years old, he grabbed the Wisconsin flag, and he ran up through the Confederate fire. He took bullets in his arm and his leg. He kept running through the fire, and when he got to the top of that hill, Arthur MacArthur planted the Wisconsin flag, and he shouted, "On Wisconsin!" And those kids from Rock County and Jefferson County and Dane County, Walworth County, they came roaring over that hill, running up to the top, and they broke the Confederate line and took the battle against slavery to the South. Brothers and sisters, that's who you come from. Brothers and sisters, we've been down. We've been beaten back. They've told us what we cannot do. But when they tell us that, that's when we see everybody else backing off. And we go to the top of that mountain. We go toward that North Star. And we shout, "On Wisconsin!" Because this is the state that will lead the rest of this country to economic and social justice and peace. Brothers and sisters, we are the hope of America. It starts here, and I am so honored to be with you. On Wisconsin. On Wisconsin. On Wisconsin.